His smile is warm and suggestive, like maybe I'm here for Jake.
And what might that other reason be?
To set a bag of dog shit on fire?
His brow furrows.
I beg your pardon?
You know, put some dog shit in a bag, set it on a porch, light it on fire, ring the doorbell and wait for someone to run out and stomp on it. It's quite entertaining to watch, but rather difficult to pull off.
I lean forward, shield the side of my mouth with my hand, and drop my tone.
You wouldn't believe how protective these people around here are of their dog's shit.
Jim stares silently at me for several long moments before he bursts into a fit of laughter. Jake walks in and looks between the two of us confused. I just smile.
This, Jim points at me while he pauses to catch his breath. This girl is something else, Jake. I like her.
Jake's fake-ass laugh has me rolling my eyes.
She is definitely something else.
He moves out of Jim's sight and mouths,
"What the fuck did you do?"
I shrug and take the other whiskey glass in Jake's hand that's clearly for him and not me. But these damn morning drinkers are turning me into an alcoholic. Until I take a sip and nearly barf.
You must come to dinner with Jake tonight. Unfortunately, Jim, she can't. She's busy.
No, I'm not.
Jake levels me with a look and a cool smile.
Sure you are.
I pretend to think on it a second. Nope, I'm free.
Great.
Jim stands and holds his hand out to Jake, who immediately transforms into a charming, gracious host.
I'll see you both there. My girls are going to love her.
His expression turns solemn despite his smile.
Might make convincing them a little bit easier. No offense, but the corporate world can be intimidating. It'll be nice for them to see you surround yourself with people who are a bit more what we're used to.
Jake seems genuinely happy now.
I understand. We'll be there.
He walks him out while I sit and wait for the explosion to happen. When Jake returns, he walks around to his desk and takes a seat in his big, important chair. He's stoic, and I can't read him. I'd almost prefer him angry.
That man was convinced that his daughters wouldn't agree to sell their stock in the company. I've spent the past 30 minutes trying to renegotiate our deal, because this is an investment I refuse to walk away from. Nothing I said persuaded him to give me the chance to pitch my offer to his family.
He pauses and takes a deep breath. I can tell he's about to say something he really doesn't want to, and it makes me so happy.
But whatever random shit you said or crazy shit you did in the 2 minutes I was gone was enough to convince him otherwise. And I don't know if I want to throw you through those windows, fuck you senseless against them, or drop to my knees and do what I did last night until you can't stand up on your own.
I don't know where I put that bottle of feelings I'd planned to pull out to remind me of who Jake really is, in the event he tried to turn his charm on me, because suddenly I'm mush and hormones and heat. But I keep it together, barely, and remain unaffected on the outside. A simple thank you will suffice.
Not a chance in hell. What did you do?
I didn't do anything.
You did something. What the fuck was it?
I roll my eyes. Really, Jake, I didn't do anything. People just naturally gravitate toward me. I'm a pretty remarkable person. But you're too busy being a self-centered asshole to notice. He scoffs.
Self-centered? After all I've done for you.
Now it's my turn to scoff. What you've done for me? What about what I've done for you? He starts to say something, but I point my finger at him and narrow my eyes. So help me God, if you bring up me breaking into your house, I will jump over this desk and ravage you.
Ravage. Fuck. That's not the right word. I meant tackle you.
Are you a woman of your word?
Of course.
I snap, not realizing I've taken the bait until he has me hook,
line, and sinker.
You broke into my house. I sit back and cross my arms.
His eyes move to my exposed cleavage.
You can forget it, sir.
So you're not a woman of your word.
I'm a woman who can barely walk today. He frowns at that, and the cutest little V forms between his brows.
Are you hurting?
Oh, now you care. There's no bite to my words. Truthfully, I didn't even want to say them. I'd much rather nod, pout, make my lip quiver, crawl in his lap and let him comfort me. But I have a little bit of dignity. Not much, but some. He stands and makes his way to me. My heart pounds harder the closer he gets, and he keeps breathing all the air and not leaving any for me. He takes my chin in his hand when I refuse to look at him. That V is still there between his eyes.
What can I do? Would you like something for the pain?
I slap his hand away. I was fucked hard, not hit by a bus. I'm mad because that's not what I want him to say. He shouldn't ask me anything. This is the part where he is supposed to scoop me up, take me to his bed, inspect me, growl and say something about how much he wants me but that he'll have to wait, then cover me up, demand I stay put, fetch me a glass of water, 2 ibuprofen, and insist that I take them and rest. I'm so over him fucking everything up.
What the hell is your problem, Penelope?
I'm not the one who has a problem. He rears back like I slapped him.
Oh, so I'm the problem?
Yes.
For fuck's sake, what are you so pissed about?
I jump to my feet and poke my finger in his chest. The fact that you don't know, for starters.
Why don't you enlighten me, then?
Fine, I will. Oh, there you are, bottle of emotions. I stomp around the room and make a big show of flailing my arms. You're nice to me as long as you're drunk or trying to get your dick wet, saying sweet shit to me, calling me baby, treating me like, oh, I don't know, a human. Then, the moment you're sober and your cock is dry, you treat me like I'm a pebble in your shoe. And I'm over here doing all of this to save your ass, when all I really want to do is drop you on it. He shakes his head while I catch my breath.
You can't even come up with an original line to threaten me with.
Though I already know, I ask, what are you talking about?
That last line, the one about dropping me on my ass, that's a line from Dirty Dancing.
Hands on my hips, I glare at him while I scramble for a comeback. Well, the fact that you know that line isn't gonna make me like you. So, whatever.
Whatever?
Whatever.
Kiss me.
What?
Kiss me.
No.
Would you rather me ask? Fine, I'll ask. Kiss me?
What the hell is happening? No, I'm not going to kiss you.
I won't ask again, Penelope.
This motherfucker thinks he's so suave. Then don't.
Done.
3 steps. That's the distance it takes for him to have me at arm's length. 2 breaths. That's how long it takes for him to reach out, grab me around my waist, and pull me flush against his chest. 1 kiss. That's all it takes to melt me. I don't even know why I was angry. I mean, it's not like he owed me anything. I can take the good with the bad. Sure, we had a spat, but if we're destined to be together, that's expected. He pulls away from my mouth and lifts me around his waist.
You know why I can't be nice to you?
Words fail me, so I shake my head as he sets me on his desk.
Because when I am, you get this look about you.
He pulls his shirt over his head, rips open mine, and groans.
This hazy, lust-driven look that drives my cock crazy.
His lips find mine on a frantic, impatient kiss. I return it with just as much fervor. I'm a panting, wanting mess when he grabs the back of my knees and pulls me to the edge of the desk.
How sore are you?
The intensity in his stare warns me not to lie. Desperation overrules all sense of reason. Not sore enough to say no. He flattens his palm against my stomach and urges me down onto my back. The heels of my feet somehow find their way to the edge of the desk. My knees part and he's there, staring down at me, completely bare. He caresses the inside of my thigh with the back of his knuckles before dragging his thumb down my slit.
You're swollen.
Yeah, about that. I got stung by a bee. Doesn't have shit to do with last night. I'm good.
And obviously desperate to say some random shit like that.
He chooses to ignore my stupidity and pushes one long digit inside me.
Fuck, you're as wet as you were last night. Tighter than you were last night. You're swollen here, too.
Told y'all it was as big as a Coke can. He removes his finger from my stupid, swollen vagina to caress my thigh once again. He also frowns and has that little V of concern I thought was hot, but now I just find it annoying. It's nothing, really. I'm naturally this tight. It's just my narrow channel, Jake.
Penelope, please stop saying narrow channel.
It's the appropriate medical term.
Appropriate or not, I find it sexy as hell and I shouldn't. Not to mention I'm trying to not go against my better judgment and take you hard right here on my desk. Bee sting reaction or not.
He said bee sting. I giggle. He glares.
That cute little laugh of yours doesn't help either.
Have you tried thinking about turtles? He says nothing. Bubblegum? More silence. Want to channel my energy? I press my fingers to my temple. He grabs my hand and pulls me to a sitting position. My feet fall with the movement, and soon my legs are dangling over the side of the desk, and he's in between them. He does that hair tuck, temple touch thing.
I took you too hard last night.
My body instantly ignites in flames. I whimper and shift on the desk, lean into his touch, reach out and try to pull him on top of me. He's an immovable steel force.
Let me take care of you today.
Oh, now he wants to be that guy and take care of me. Now, when I'm a hot, horny mess. Well, this isn't swoony that guy's moment. This is Jake Swagger's moment. The fuck you with my big dick and you'll take it and like it because I said so, Jake Swagger. If you really want to take care of me...
Mind out of the gutter, Penelope.
He sweeps me off the desk and plants me on my feet, pushes the tattered shirt off my shoulders, grabs his discarded one from the floor, pulls it over my head, then kisses my forehead like a fucking daddy dom. Which isn't my kink.
Are you trying to pout that hard, or does it just come natural?
Pout. A very daddy dom thing to say. If you pull out a sippy cup, I'm gone. He eyes me a moment, shakes his head, then turns and walks out, mumbling under his breath.
The shit she says.
14. So maybe swoony that guy isn't that bad. His timing is just off. Like this morning when I wanted him to care about me and he didn't. Then later this morning when I wanted him to not care about me and he did. In the end, I got what I wanted, just not when I wanted it. Well, some of what I wanted anyway. I'd already had my lady parts inspected on his desk. Then he'd ordered us breakfast, even asking what I wanted. I'd settled for bacon, eggs, pancakes, fresh fruit, and some of that oatmeal from McDonald's with the raisins in it. Did you know that Uber will bring you food? In a blizzard? They call it Uber Eats. That might not be a big deal to some people, but when you're from a town where even the local Pizza Hut doesn't deliver, hearing news like this will blow your mind. Anyway. After that, I finally got those two ibuprofen and tall glass of water, along with the demand to rest, which is exactly what I did. Only I slept on the couch instead of his bed, because I was too full from all the shit Uber Eats delivered to make it up the stairs. After a 3-hour nap, I took a hot shower to wake me up. When I got finished with that, I was instructed to hurry the hell up before I made us late. I started to complain that I had nothing to wear, but then I found an outfit already laid out on the guest bed for me. And every cosmetic I could ask for was lying on the bathroom counter. I left my thick curls untamed so they were wild and crazy, but somehow stylishly cute. Spritzed them, my neck, and my wrists with Chanel. Went heavy on the mascara to make my eyes really pop. Light on the lipstick so I had that glossy, natural pink Kim Kardashian thing going. Marveled at my skin that glowed against the stark white, off-the-shoulder blouse that flared slightly at the waist. Thanked Emily for the Pilates class she signed me up for, which had tightened my ass and toned my legs that looked really great in the black leather stiletto pants, and took 17 pictures of the Louboutin heels that were white on top and red on the bottom. Penelope. I snap a quick bathroom mirror, duck face selfie and send it to Emily. Wait for her response. Get the same one I get every time I send her a pic. The middle finger emoji.
We've got to...
Jake's voice trails off as he drinks me in, fucks me down, turns me on, and twists me inside out, all with a look. Go. Do I look pretty? I flash him a smile and curtsy.
You look like dessert.
Heat is just... it's everywhere. Burning me the fuck up. I part my lips to get more air and pant while he takes his time looking at me. Do you like dessert? He meets my eyes.
It's quickly becoming my favorite thing to eat.
Kryptonite. Still got it. I'm feeling a little weak, too. The man is wearing a suit, which isn't unusual for him. But this one? All black. Jet black. Even his tie is black. He looks like a CEO bad boy. And that big Rolex on his wrist isn't helping to quell my desire. I'm not a materialistic person or anything, but when you've only dated the kind of dudes who wear a Timex, you can't help but get a little excited over seeing a man with a diamond-encrusted piece of jewelry that, no matter the quality, still just tells fucking time. Like, literally, that's its only purpose. Hottest waste of money ever. The ogling between us lasts a minute longer before he clears his throat and grabs the black leather jacket he'd laid out for me. His hungry prowl is that of a panther, and I'm a gazelle, about to be eaten for dessert, because I look like dessert, or so says Jake Swagger. Even in these heels that are every bit of 4 inches, he towers over me. When he steps behind me to assist with my jacket, I have to take a deep breath to steady myself. He takes a deep breath, too. Only his nose is buried in my curls.
You smell divine.
I turn to face him, and the smoldering look he's giving me has my nerve endings sending signals to my brain that result in me doing that thing I always do when I'm nervous. Still not of the sea variety, eh? River dance, finger snap, finger guns.
You are so fucking strange. Anyone ever told you that?
I waggle my eyebrows. Only the people who like me.
It's because they want you to change.
I tilt my head and narrow my gaze. But do they really? He grunts.
Let's go.
I'm shocked and a little flattered when Jake takes my hand. That fades when I realize it's so he can set our pace really fast. I'm not surprised when he huffs about having to slow down because I can't keep up in these shoes. I'm not surprised when he gives me the stupid stare in the elevator as I hum, or when he keeps his head in his phone and doesn't speak to me the entire ride to the restaurant. This is typical Jake Swagger behavior. But it's when we arrive at our destination that I discover a chivalrous side to Jake that makes this hopeless romantic swoon harder than I ever have. Like dancing, this isn't even on that guy's list of must-haves. It's all Jake, which somehow makes it even hotter. The small Italian restaurant is tucked neatly between two massive brick buildings. The glass front with its view of the white linen-covered tables, muted lighting, overhead awning, and hanging baskets of greenery dusted in snow looks like a picture of Paris. It's a burst of warmth on what could be the coldest day in Chicago's history. But the front of the restaurant is just that, a front. There's no door for entry, and the parking lot in the back sits a good 100 feet from the entrance due to the garden patio. I take Jake's offered hand and step out of the car and into the bitter cold. The asphalt, though it's been salted, is an icy death trap for my Louboutins. With Jake's hand still in mine, I feel positive he'll catch me before I bust my ass. But I haven't even taken a step when my feet are swept out from under me. I let out a squeal and feel my heart sink to my knees. Jake's rumbling laughter cuts through the cold and hits me dead in my chest. Warmth spreads throughout my body when the panic passes and I process what's really happening. He's carrying me, one arm around my waist, the other under my knees, looking down at me with a smile, closing his eye on a wink, teasing me with his words.
"Those heels are for my viewing pleasure, baby, not for walking on ice.
Lord, please let this restaurant have ice chairs, because I'm pretty sure these pants are for his viewing pleasure, too."
I'll probably go to hell for saying this, but I've never found praying hot until now.
"How did you know I was praying?" He laughs, bites his lip to stifle it, only to end up chuckling. When he sets me down just outside the entrance, he grabs my chin, tilts my head back, and gives me a handsome, devilish smirk.
"You said amen."
"Of course I did." 15. "Go, Penelope! Go, Penelope! Go, Penelope!" The crowd of people gathered around me chant my name as I stand on the bar of Chicago's most elite nightclub and do the running man. I wave toward Amber and Mary, Jim Canton's two daughters, to join me on the bar. Then everyone on the dance floor below joins in. Now the entire club is doing the running man. Turns out all Jim's daughters needed to persuade them to sell their stock was to see the numbers in black and white. When Jake slid the envelope containing his offer across the linen tablecloth to Amber, the oldest daughter, her eyes went wide and she screamed. Then she showed it to Mary, who also screamed. It took several minutes for their father to calm them down. Everyone was staring. It was weird. And I was sad because I didn't get to see how much the offer was. I mean, how much can an irrigation system cost? Jim wanted to go back to the hotel room with Jake to review the paperwork before everyone signed and made it official. His daughters wanted to celebrate. So we all went back to the hotel and the guys went to the room. Me, Amber, and Mary went to the hotel bar. Things got a little crazy after that. Jake, in a moment of stunned excitement, had very stupidly given me his credit card and told me tonight was on him. He'd also called Cam to come to the hotel bar to look after us and make sure we didn't get into any trouble. When the girls told Cam they wanted to party Chicago style, he told them he knew just the place. That was hours ago. Now I'm drunk. The sisters are drunk. Cam is trying to get lucky. And Jake just walked through the door. Black suit, black hair, square jaw, swaggered walk. Eyes searching, scanning, appraising, following the chant, lifting up, 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 and finally settling on my face. I beam at him, though I half expect him to be angry at me for something. Getting the Canton sisters drunk and convincing them to dance on a bar seems like something he wouldn't approve of. To my surprise, His lips turn up on one side in a sexy grin. I'm trying to stay in tune to DNCE's Cake by the Ocean, but that damn face of his has a way of rendering me stupid. The same man who treated us like royalty the moment I flashed him Jake's black Amex card walks up and greets him. Moments later, Jake is escorted to our VIP suite on the second floor. He disappears a moment from my view and my smile falls. Then it's back when I see him lean over the rail, drink in hand, and immediately find me with his eyes. I've got it so fucking bad. I look up and give him a little wave. He wiggles his fingers at me and smiles. I've never seen him so content. I wonder if he's always like this when he closes a deal, or if it's just this one in particular. I make a mental note to ask him later when we're alone. Maybe in those sleepy moments when we're cuddling in post-coital bliss. I'll be back! I shout to the sisters who are too busy making a cam sandwich to care. I hold out my hands to two dudes below me, and they're more than happy to lower me to the floor. I can't tell you what they look like. I don't know. Don't care. Doesn't matter. They won't compare to Jake. The music dulls as I head up the stairs to the VIP suite. He's watching me when I finally make it to the landing. Nice moves. I know, right? I do the running man just for him. Then I switch to my river dance. By the time I snap my fingers and pull out my pistols, I'm touching his chest with the tips of my finger guns.
That river dance of yours, though.
I grin up at him. Does something to you, doesn't it? His smile is wide, teeth pretty and white and glowing in the black light. I wish you could have been here earlier. You missed me doing the watermelon crawl. He tucks my hair behind my ear.
Someone had to work so the rest of you would have something to celebrate.
You closed the deal? It's official?
We went over the details, but I need our lawyers to close. We'll set up a meeting sometime in the next couple of days, depending on the weather, to finalize it.
His fingers ghost the neckline of my shirt.
Stay with me until it's done.
He looks up at me from beneath his lashes and grins.
Just in case the sisters sober up and change their mind.
OMG. He's asking me to stay. Shit. I'm not sure I can. For how long? He smirks.
Trying to play hard to get?
I shrug. I'll let him believe whatever he wants, but I still need an answer. And it takes him a few moments to realize I'm waiting on one.
You're serious?
Yes. How long are you asking me to stay?
What's it matter? Do you have to check your schedule or something?
Or something. How long? His eyes narrow.
A couple days at most.
So, 2 days? That's it?
Yes, Penelope. 2 days. Will you stay with me for 2 more days?
I grin. Okay, I can do 2 days.
You are so odd.
Tell me something I don't know. Like why you agreed to dinner with him and his daughters tonight if you weren't doing it to close the deal. I didn't think rich people did anything on their own. I figured you had a team that would handle things like that.
I prefer a more hands-on approach.
Was that a sexual innuendo? He laughs.
Not if I have to explain it.
His hand clasps mine, and he leads me to a seat on one of the velvet couches and passes me a bottle of water from the wet bar. This VIP suite is the shit. They even have chicken wings.
I do a lot of business with people like Jim Canton, people who put their heart and souls into their projects, he explains,
taking a seat on the couch opposite me and leaning forward with his elbows on his knees.
A lot of them risked everything to bring their ideas to life, invested everything they had. I admire that. I respect it. So I make it personal. I don't want them to feel like they're selling out to a suit. I want them to feel good about the decision to sell. and know that I'm going to treat their product like it was my own. Wow, who knew he could get sexier? That room in my house, the one with the code on the door that you think is some kind of sex dungeon, it's where I keep all my files, the original copies of the blueprints on patents, all my clients' personal information, prototypes. It's all there, where I never have to doubt if it's secure. I don't even trust that kind of information in the hands of the people who work for me.
I wasn't expecting that.
What part? How I make every investment personal, or the locked room being a file room rather than a sex room?
Well, I'm disappointed the file room isn't a sex room. He laughs. It's such a great laugh. But the other? You making it so personal? That's pretty awe-inspiring. He sobers.
It's good business, and it's why I'm successful. Like you said, I'm not creative enough to come up with my own ideas.
His left eye closes on a wink. My vagina quivers.
But I know business. I like investing in things that are often overlooked. It makes it even more satisfying when it becomes a global phenomenon.
Global phenomenon? Really? He shrugs. It's just a lift of his shoulders, but the humble move says so much more about him.
I know something good when I see it.
His eyes sweep over my body, like I'm something good. I straighten, try to perk my tits up a little, arch my neck, pout my lips. I'm not very subtle. He catches on quick and smirks at me. Then his eyes darken, and his lips part, and I feel like dessert.
You want to get out of here?
Yes, please. Yes, I do.
Idiot.
I feel like I'm in a haze as we walk through the club. The mist is just a blur of lights and music, Cam promising to get the sisters home, Ross opening the door of the car, and the hard wall of muscles sliding onto the seat next to me. My drunken fog has nothing to do with alcohol. I'm stoned on Jake's swagger, high on sexual tension, boneless and horny, and jacked up on endorphins. Lips are on my lips, tongue dancing with my tongue, thick, deft fingers flipping open the button on my pants, one masculine hand sliding beneath my panties, a feral growl in my ear, a harsh whisper confirming my desire.
Your pussy is fucking soaked.
I moan. He silences me with his mouth, but the closer he takes me to the edge, the louder I get, the harder it is to breathe, and soon I'm breaking away from his mouth and panting as the build becomes too much, too intense. I cry out and his free hand clamps over my mouth. Motherfucker, it's the hottest thing ever.
I love how hard you come.
Okay, maybe that's the hottest thing ever. Maybe it's just all of it. His finger doing wicked things to my clit. His words that are rough and low and barely above a whisper. And that hand clamped over my mouth, muffling my cries of pleasure as my back arches off the seat. Hips buck, legs wide, one thrown over him, the other spread lifelessly across the car. Yeah, it's all pretty damn sexy. But wait. He hasn't done the typical that guy move, which would be the sexiest move by far. And as I come down from my orgasmic high, I find myself staring at him expectantly, waiting, anticipating the part that comes next. The part he's not doing. He zips my pants, kisses my shoulder, squeezes his cock through his pants and groans. His eyes lift to mine, and he blinks a few times before tilting his head to study me.
Are you having a seizure?
What? No. Why would you ask that?
Because you're staring at me like you're crazy, and you haven't blinked.
Maybe I'm waiting for something. I try to sound sultry, bat my lashes. It just confuses him more. He analyzes every feature in my face, looking for a hint. He thinks he has it figured out and smirks. But before he even opens his mouth, I know he hasn't figured out a damn thing.
Don't worry, baby. You'll get that something and a whole lot more. But I'm not fucking you in the back of this car. It's going to take a lot longer than 10 minutes to do what I plan to do. Blah, blah, blah.
That's not what I'm waiting for, I deadpan. His eyebrows shoot to his hairline and he laughs.
Don't hold back, gorgeous. Tell me how you really feel.
It's not about how I feel. It's about what I want. I button my pants, cross my legs, and stare out the window so I don't have to look at him. You sure do suck at being that guy sometimes. He slides one big digit across my jaw, the same big digit that he should be sucking on, while his eyes roll back in his head and he groans deep in his chest because the taste of my essence triggers some overwhelming, primal desire to claim me. He pinches my chin and turns my head to face him. Of course, he's entertained by my pouty attitude and has that stupid smirk on his face.
What?
What?
What do you want, Penelope?
It doesn't matter now, Jake. You've already ruined it. He leans in, kisses my top lip, my bottom lip, still holding my chin between his fingers that are now so close to his mouth.
Tell me, what that guy move have I fucked up this time?
I know you think this is funny, but if you're ever going to learn, you need to know. I pull away and put a little distance between us. His amusement only grows. He's barely able to contain his smile as he tries to look serious, holds his hands up and leans back into his seat.
Please, enlighten me.
I waste no time. In every romance novel, the hero, aka that guy, always follows up a good backseat fingering with a move that sets the heroine's panties on fire. It ignites those feelings all over again, so that even as she comes down from her first orgasm, she's already anticipating the next one. He's no longer fighting his smile.
So what did I do wrong?
You pulled your hand out of my pants and wiped your fingers on your pants like they were damp due to condensation from your water glass, rather than the sweet, sinful, innocently sexy kryptonite honey flowing from my vagina. He shakes his head at me.
The shit you say.
The shit you don't do, I fire back.
Uh-huh. And what exactly was I supposed to do, Penelope? You know, with all that sweet honey of yours.
Duh. Lick your fingers, growl, say something possessive and profane.
Lick my fingers?
Yeah, to get my taste, because you can't help yourself.
His voice does that growl thing. Why settle for just a taste?
He shifts, grabs me under my knee, spins me to face him, pulls me forward, lifts my hips and forces me to my back. I land with an oomph. Then he unzips my pants, jerks them to my knees, leans in and licks the length of my slit, over my satin panties. And somehow, that's better than being completely bare.
What are you doing?
I glance at the blacked-out glass separating us from Ross, out the window at the passing buildings, wondering how close we are to his apartment, and finally, between my legs at him. He's hovering over me, a day's hair on his chin tickling me through the thin material of my underwear.
I'm giving you something you want.
I shake my head, swallow hard, find my breath, and hope like hell I can be heard over the thundering in my chest.
You said there wasn't enough time, remember? Like 2 seconds ago. Not enough time. That's what you said.
There's enough time for this.
But I just wanted you to lick your fingers.
Sorry, baby.
He drags his nose across my panties and inhales. I almost die.
Like you said.
He takes this big fucking dramatic pause and winks, and I'm scared that whatever he's about to say might finish me off for good.
I just can't help myself.
And I'm dead. 16. I'm a coming machine. Give me the pressure of a deadline, the possibility of getting caught, and Jake Swagger's tongue, and I can make it rain in this bitch. Seriously, liquid kryptonite just everywhere. I thought I wouldn't be able to move considering the intense tongue-fucking I just endured, but like I said, I'm a machine. And the promise of Jake's cock inside me puts an extra pep in my step as we exit the car, make our way through the lobby, up the elevator, me in the corner humming like a crazy person while he watches, through the front door of his apartment, and to his office. I don't know why we're in his office. He just said, "Office." And I listened, because the idea of him fucking me on his desk, picking up where he left off this morning, has me abandoning this little voice in the back of my mind that says a repeat of last night isn't what I truly want, and has me stripping off my clothes to save time. But the walk is short, so I'm still dressed from the waist down when I make it to his desk and turn to face him. And he's... have mercy, he's naked. Not a stitch of clothing. He's even managed to remove his shoes and socks. Seeing this vision, this Adonis, this... yeah, I've got nothing else. Because this man is the finest motherfucker I've ever seen in my life, and there is nothing worthy of comparison to a naked Jake Swagger. I've never seen him completely naked. Witnessing him bare-chested was hard enough. Add some masculine feet, the calves of an athlete, a couple muscular thighs, and that thing I refuse to look at that hangs between those muscular thighs, to the picture, and I suddenly feel like maybe I should have left my clothes on. I thought I looked good tonight. Compared to him, I look homely as hell. It doesn't help my nerves any that for him to have gotten this naked in the 13 steps it took us to arrive at his desk, he had to have pulled off some real magical shit. Abracadabra! I give my imaginary wand a twirl. He advances on me slowly.
Why are you nervous?
I've watched him pull his cock from his pants, seen it fisted in his hand, but I've never seen it like this, just swinging between his legs like a pendulum. I close my eyes to block out the sight, but it's too late. I saw it, swaying, helicoptering, oscillating like the blades on a Kim Jones box fan. And I can still see it, behind my eyes, forever. Likely the only thing I'll ever see again.
Penelope.
I keep my eyes closed. Hmm?
You said abracadabra, because you're nervous. Why are you nervous?
But because you're naked. Got that way really quick, too. Magician moves.
Ah.
I crack open one eye just in time to see him nod in understanding, 3 feet from me.
Magician. 2 feet. Explains the wand.
He's in front of me.
Touch me.
Okay. I'm so relieved from my fidgeting hands to have some direction, I slap them against his chest a little too hard. He stifles a groan. My palms tingle. His blood rushes to darken the handprints on his pecs. All my blood rushes to my cheeks.
As charming as it is to see this shy and nervous version of you, I prefer the you that screams and thrashes and doesn't give a damn about anything other than how fucking good it feels.
My finger traces the outline of handprints. I open my mouth, close it, take a breath, force myself to look him in the eye and reveal a small truth to him.
It's only ever felt that good with you.
I feel his chest rumble beneath my touch, but hear no sound. He traps my wrists in his big hands and presses his forehead to mine.
That mouth of yours, Penelope Hart,
will be my demise. The kiss that comes next is a warning as much as it is a promise. A warning that he's about to ravage me, and a promise that I'll love every second of it. Though his movements are rushed and greedy, they're precise and rewarding. He strips my pants down my legs in one fluid motion. But when he kneels to remove my heels so he can free my pants from around my ankles, he takes a second longer to caress the arch of my foot with his thumb. He cups my ass with his palms, lifts me to sit on the edge of his desk, steps between my legs, and pulls me roughly against him. But his touch is soft when he drags a single finger down the center of my chest, before flattening his hand on my stomach and urging me to my back. His grip on my hips is rough, fingers kneading, then releasing, eyes wild and hungry, bottom lip trapped between his teeth. But when he slides the length of his shaft up and down my slit, he does it with a sense of tenderness, as if the need to feel me against him is greater than the desire to just bury himself inside me. It's confusing. And that voice in the back of my mind, the one telling me this isn't what I truly want, is back. He fists his cock and teases me with the head. His eyes travel over my naked torso, worshipping every inch of my skin before meeting my hooded gaze.
I need a condom, but fuck, you feel so good like this.
The intensity in which he looks at me, as if he's trying to read my thoughts on the matter, takes me out of the moment and makes me question if, beneath all his hotness, he's actually an idiot. He's super rich. I'm super poor. Why would he take a chance on getting me pregnant? The only reasonable explanation is that he's fallen in love and wants to trap me for the rest of my life. I'm good with that. But it's another thought that has me forgetting that I'm naked, spread-eagle on his desk, with the head of his unprotected penis pressed against the opening of my vagina. Why would he risk catching a disease from someone he barely knows? Did you know people can have an STD even if there are no visual signs of one? And that an unseen STD can still be transmitted without a current breakout? Not that I have any STDs, but he doesn't know that, which makes him really stupid. Does it make me stupid to sleep with him without protection, considering he could have an STD and I could be on the receiving end of it? Hell no. Why? Because he's rich. And if he gives me something that won't wash off in the shower, then I'm going to sue the shit out of him. He's smart, aside from this rare moment of stupidity, so he'll settle out of court. And guess what? I'll be rich. As fuck. A few $1 million makes having herpes totally worth it. Plus, there's all this advanced medicine these days. It's a win-win for me. For him? Not so much. I mean, he didn't even ask me if I had a clean bill of health or confirm that he had one like all the heroes do. Which, by the way, blows my fucking mind. Like, who does that? Just gets randomly checked for diseases, though they swear they've never fucked bareback in their life. Romance novels, am I right?
I'm almost positive that whatever crazy shit you're thinking this time actually has the power to turn me off.
His gaze might be stoic, but I can see the plea deep in his eyes that begs me to not say what I'm thinking. You're probably right. And just in case, we should use protection. I'm not on the pill. I add that last part because I don't want him to think he needs to use protection for any other reason than an unplanned pregnancy, which is also why I don't tell him I'm on the shot. He holds up a condom between his fingers.
Yeah, I decided that the moment you said, rich as fuck.
My eyes widen. It's not what you think, I swear. I shut up when he places a finger over his lips and shakes his head. He flicks the condom and it lands next to my head. When I look over at it, I see it's just the empty wrapper. My eyes drift to his cock that is now sheathed in latex.
A. How did he manage to fit that 33-gallon lawn and leaf bag covering his penis in that little bitty foil wrapper? B. Just where in the hell did he get that condom? C. When did he put it on without me knowing? I look up at him and he smiles.
Abracadabra.
Smooth, Swagger. Real smooth.
I know.
Well, if you're finished now, maybe we can move on to the next act in your magic show. Without warning, he thrust inside me. Shit, he's deep. I'm taken back to last night. Us on the couch. That fear of paralysis. Cock overload. Coke can. Narrow channel. Yeah, I'm done.
Breathe, sweet girl.
Jake's body over mine keeps me from jumping off the desk. His words remind me that I probably do need to breathe, and his sweet kisses on the side of my neck liquefy me.
What am I going to do with you, Penelope Hart?
Fuck me. Love me. Marry me. Feed me chicken wings. Not a painful ache, a desperate ache. When I hear that voice in my head again, a little louder this time, I drown it out with begging. Oh, please. Fuck me, please. His cock jerks inside me, but his body doesn't move.
Be careful what you wish for, baby.
Shit. He's right. Just don't. Well.
Say it, Penelope. I can't read you like this. When you're thinking too much. Tell me what you want, and I'll give it to you. When I do, you'll forget everything. Then I won't need your pretty little mouth to tell me what you want. Your body will.
He places a kiss right behind my ear, and just like in the books, that's the spot. Slow, Jake. Fuck me slow. And touch me, everywhere. I like when you touch me. He does just what I ask. Slow thrusts, deep and measured, hands all over me, caressing this, cupping that, lips here, tongue there. But something isn't right. And though I know exactly what it is, and have known the entire time, thanks to that voice in my head, I can't bring myself to say it. I don't want him to see me as weak. I don't want him to know how bad he hurt me. And I'm not sure if that's because I'm ashamed of how he made me feel, or because I don't want him to regret making me feel that way.
Talk to me, baby.
God, I want to.
Just say it, gorgeous.
Even the endearments aren't helping. He stills inside me, kisses me softly, looks at me even softer. Then the words I needed to hear fall from his lips like the sweetest kind of pained melody that has the power to twist you up inside and make you long for something you didn't realize you were so desperate for.
Trust me, Penelope. I've got you.
Without giving it further thought, I surrender. And for the second time tonight, I give a little piece of myself to this man. I want this. But I don't want to feel like I felt last night. That's not who I am, Jake. I'm not them. Them. The Miss Sims. The others. The women before me. The hired whores left alone on a couch. Fucked and forgotten. I may not mean more to him than they did. I may not be more to him than they were. But I can't let him treat me like I'm just a piece of ass. Not again. He hasn't said anything, not a word, just pinned me with that stoic, thoughtful gaze of his. Fucking hell. I knew better. I flatten my hands against his chest and divert my eyes. Look, I let out a breath of nervous laughter. I hate being this exposed, this vulnerable. Stupid fucking trust. Stupid fucking voice. Stupid fucking Penelope. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have. He cuts me off with a kiss. A searing kiss that bruises my lips and completely negates the way he cradles my face in his hands like porcelain.
It makes my head spin. His breath is controlled but a little harsh when he pulls away and whispers against my lips.
You are not them. Do you hear me?
I nod. He captures my mouth again. This kiss sweeter than the last. Softer. Slower. He wraps my hands around his neck, my legs around his waist. Keeps himself buried inside me as he stands with me in his arms.
You will never fucking be them.
Every few steps he kisses me. My lips. My neck. Cheek. Nose. Corner of my mouth. Temple. Gah! Those temple kisses. I kiss him too. His jaw, ear, chin, neck, mouth, that is now claiming mine. I'm dizzy with lust, and swimming in warmth that has to do with something that has nothing to do with sex. But I don't shake it away. I revel in it. I live in the moment. I let go so my pretty mouth doesn't have to speak, and my body can do the talking. And I learn very quickly that I should let my body do the talking all the time. I'm on a bed. A large hand pins my wrists over my head. The other touches me in that way I love to be touched. It slides down my chest, across my breast, over my ribs, and curls around my hip. I look down at the sight before me, the body above me, the wide, chiseled chest dusted in hair, ripple of 8-pack abs that disappear into the V, and beneath that V, the thick, beautiful, for a cock, shaft that slowly pulls almost all the way out of me. Then Jake lifts his hips, pulls me to him, and drives back in. Over and over, until I can't hold my head up anymore, until I squeeze my eyes closed and move my body to meet his, until I shatter beneath him when he tells me, so fucking perfect, and when he says, I'm not through with you yet, gorgeous. I mule and cry and beg for mercy and more and something and everything until I have it all. Mercy, when his thrusts become a little harsher so that the dull, distant, slow-burning throb inside me becomes a crescendo. More, when he shifts our bodies and finds that spot deep inside me so that the feeling is prolonged. Something turns out to be a pinch of pain when he pulls my nipple between his teeth and then soothes it with his tongue followed by a breath of cold air. The everything both scares and delights me. It's the forbidden, the one place his mouth touches when he flips me to my knees, and then his finger finds when his cock is once again buried inside me. I pull away, shame overpowering desire. Easy, baby. Easy for him to say. He doesn't have a finger in his butt. Stop thinking. Feel. I do feel. A finger in my fucking butt. Then I feel a deep thrust that steals all the air from my lungs, sensation in my toes, and thoughts from my head. I come so hard I collapse face down, ass still up. He's still fucking my brains out and I can't find gravity. I don't want to find gravity. Fuck gravity. Unless gravity is Jake Swagger, who can put whatever he wants in my butt as long as it feels as good as this does. He comes on a warrior cry that has me arching my brow, wondering if maybe he's a descendant of Arminius, or part werewolf. Not just from the cry, either, but from his never-ending stamina. He has to be exhausted. He's done all the work. So werewolf or warrior descendant is the only explanation for where he finds the strength to kiss his way down my spine, then back up again, flip me over, position me in the bed so my head is on a pillow, and walk to the bathroom to dispose of the condom. All I did was grunt, and I can't get these heart palpitations under control. I'm almost asleep when he crawls into bed, pulls the covers around me, leans over and kisses the corner of my mouth. How are you feeling, baby? The question strips me of my humor. I wear it like armor, and without it, I'm a coward. Which is why I pretend to be asleep so I don't have to answer, because I'm afraid I might tell him the truth. And I'm not sure